All right. Let's not waste any time. It is NBA free agency day. Oh, I can't curse on the thing, but the S word is hitting the fan. Holy hell, what a day it's been so far. There is a lot of news to get to, so we are going to have to hit all this news. We're just going to have to hit this hard and fast.
That's what she said. No time, but she did. No time!
Enough, Michael. There's no time. Anyways, there is some signings we got to go to. First, I just want to start off by saying the NBA free agency technically started today at 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern time. But by like 2 o'clock, we were getting, not even 2 o'clock, by like 1 o'clock, we were getting all these news. I was watching my dad's store today in Orange County. And as I'm preparing for this show, I'm like, okay, I'll see a lot of like live tweets on the show. I'll basically wait. And then I would be driving at 3 o'clock to come up to Los Angeles for this show and all this stuff. But it turned out we had a lot of signings and a lot of news on signings and the amount of dollars that was going around before, way before the 3 o'clock deadline. So basically what I'm trying to say is the 3 o'clock deadline is total BS. Tampering is all just rampant in the NBA, and the NBA should just stop even trying to police it. Like, and sorry, I'll get into the signing soon, but the NBA getting mad at Magic Johnson talking to Kawhi Leonard on behalf of the Lakers, but then not getting mad that the Kemba Walker deal was basically done, Kemba Walker to Boston deal was basically done yesterday. Like, the league is still policing Magic Johnson and not policing other teams, and Magic Johnson doesn't even work for a team right now. Anyways, just a warning now, if you are not an NBA fan, this might be some pretty boring news. I'm going to get into the thick of it. I'm going to be talking reserve players, second string guys, third option guys, how much money they made, where they're going. So if you're not a big NBA fan, you might find this boring. But if you are a big NBA fan, you have tuned in to the right station. So yeah, let's just dive right into it. Basically, I wrote these down in the order that I saw them in. So this is basically in chronological order of, you know, when I found out all this stuff. So one of the first ones was Kyrie to Brooklyn. He's going for a four-year, $141 million contract. And that averages about $35.25 a year. I mean, there was a lot of talk before this signing actually went down between Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell. People were saying, would you rather have Kyrie Irving at the max or D'Angelo Russell at $20 million or whatever it is? And a lot of people were saying D'Angelo Russell. And as of now, D'Angelo Russell has not signed with the team, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But I mean, Kyrie's a leader. He's hit, I mean, okay, sorry, no, not a leader. Kyrie is a proven veteran, I should say. He has hit shots in the biggest games ever. He has proven that he is a winner. Maybe not a great leader, but he is a winner. And him and KD are very similar type guys. They're very much in the, these millennial basketball players aren't happy. Like, they're the poster children of that. Of that mentality, the millennial basketball player. So one thing that's weird, and this is for wise men with small arms to answer, but Kyrie gets four years, $141 million, whereas KD gets 4 years, $162 million. So KD gets $20 million more than Kyrie, and I'm not really sure why, because I'm pretty sure they maxed out Kyrie and they maxed out KD. So if anyone wants to call into the show, I don't know what the phone number is, but if you want to call in and explain that to me, actually, I do know the phone number, but I'm not 100% sure how to take phone calls here, so I'm not going to give it to you. Anyway, so someone please tweet at me, text me, explain that to me. Anywho, then one of the like earlier ones was Milwaukee signing Brook Lopez to a four-year, $52 million deal. Now, Brook Lopez signed with the Milwaukee Bucks for $3.2 million last year at the, like, absolute despair of Laker fans. And really, really proved his worth. Big man who can defend the post. He can spread the floor, let Giannis Antetokounmpo do whatever he wants on the inside of the post. And a lot of people were expecting big numbers from him or a big contract for him. So the fact that Milwaukee can get him back to about $13 million a year, that I think is pretty solid. And I will go through the other signings and things that Milwaukee went through. But overall, I think Milwaukee had a really good day today. Then the next one to come out, this one kind of surprised me. It was Jonas Valanciunas to Memphis for 3 years and $45 million. This is about $15 million a year. Jonas Valanciunas is good. He's a double-double guy, but I've never seen him as a center of a winning team. I don't think it is that crazy that to see the correlation between him leaving. Sorry, just got a tweet. What's going on? Never mind. Just a heads up, I'm going to pause at certain points to look at Twitter because news is still coming in hot and fast. But yeah, so Jonas Valanciunas, he's a double-double guy, pretty solid center, yet has never really won at a very high level, and now he's making $15 million a year. True, Brook Lopez got an extra year. He got the 4-year 52 mil, whereas Jonas got 3 years 45 mil. But I don't know. I don't see Jonas as a $15 million a year guy. That being said, on a Memphis team that they're trying to develop their younger guys, they kind of need that older Grizzly vet to take on possessions, score the basketball, kind of lighten the load on the Young Bucks as much as possible. KD to Brooklyn, I already said. This one, I mean, nothing really substantial yet, but Jimmy Butler's first choice has come out to be the Miami Heat, which I was actually talking to my dad about this, because he was like, why would he want to go to the Miami Heat? He has no other players around him, and he doesn't really see Jimmy as, like, a lead alpha guy. And my thing is, I mean, damn, if you're going to be rich, Miami is one of the best places in the world to live. He's going to have one heck of a time. But the Heat obviously don't have any cap space for him, so it would have to be a sign and trade. So maybe we'll get some news on that coming up. Now, next up, we got Kemba Walker. This one was basically done yesterday, but the news came out today. He got a 4-year, $141 million max, basically same as Kyrie, which again, Kemba gets 4 years, $141 million. Kyrie gets 4 years, $141 million. KD gets 4 years, $162 million. Someone please explain this to me. And an unexpected one that came out today was Damian Lillard essentially signing a 6-year extension for a whopping $258 million. Now, Damian Lillard is amazing. This guy is the alphaist of alphas. I don't really believe in him and CJ McCollum together being a championship contender, but if you're going to keep one, it's going to be Lillard. If you're going to max out one, it's going to be Lillard. If you're going to build a championship team in Portland, it's going to be around Lillard. They did lose some pieces, and they haven't really signed some pieces. Well, I'll discuss that a little later, but yeah, not sure what Portland's doing. But hey, you have a star. You have an absolute stud in Damian Lillard. Great job, Neil O'Shea, keeping him. Now, this next one I was a little disappointed in. No hate to my Orlando Magic fans, but I really wanted all their free agents to just go to other teams. I really wanted Terrence Ross, UW alumni, on the Lakers. Vucevic was someone I would have wanted on the Lakers if we didn't get Kawhi, or just seeing him on another team. But Nikola Vucevic comes back to the Magic for a 4-year, $100 million contract, which, oddly enough, is the same contract that Giannis Antetokounmpo is on. But obviously, Giannis is going to get an extension that's just going to be worth a butt ton of money. But yeah, the Magic hold on. Magic basically held on to Vucevic and Ross and got a fun piece that I'll talk about in a little bit. Klay Thompson, this is not official, but basically what I'm hearing is that Klay Thompson is going to get maxed out by the Warriors for a 5-year, $191 million contract. Again, that's not final, but yeah, that's what it should be, he should be getting. Let's see, who's next? Oh, the Kings. The Kings actually have had a pretty interesting free agency. They basically started off with a 4-year, $85 million contract to Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes was, I think he had a player option for his last year of his contract worth about $20-something million. And when he opted out, a lot of Kings fans were afraid of, you know, okay, if he's opting out of a, like, $24 million last year, how much is he expecting to get? But they end up re-signing him for 4 years, $85 million, about $21.2 million a year. And I got to say, my cousin Jay, who biggest Kings fan I know personally, he was not happy with it. I mean, I get it. you have all this cap room, and then all these free agents are out there, and you end up with Harrison Barnes as your big guy. Kind of disappointing, but, I mean, when you're the Sacramento Kings, and no hate to the Kings, they've built a beautiful team so far, but you're not getting a max free agent. You're just not. So you might as well get these solid guys on semi-good contracts and maybe play roll the dice in the trade market. This one, honestly, might go down as the worst signing of the day. The Charlotte Hornets, man. Charlotte fans, I feel for you. Not only did my dad come after you guys last or 2 weeks ago saying that Charlotte was a team superstars should rest when they play, and not only do you lose Kemba Walker, the only sign of hope on your team that you've had, eek, in a decade? I don't know, but pretty rough. So you lose Kemba Walker. And then there was the idea of, okay, Charlotte has some bad contracts. Let's, you know, just tank this year, have Nicholas Batum's contract run out, have Marvin Williams' contract run out. But no, Mitch Kupchak and Michael Jordan go for Terry Rozier for a 3-year whopping $58 million a year contract. So that's about $19 million a year for Terry Rozier as your starting point guard. I mean, eek. He's good. He's solid. He's not horrible, but almost $20 million a year for Terry Rozier, that's pretty rough, and I'm really sorry for you guys in Charlotte. Next up, we have Rudy Gay going to the Spurs for a 2-year, $32 million a year contract. I mean, Rudy Gay is solid. He's been less injury-prone lately. He plays pretty solid defense, good leader, pretty Spurs guy. $16 million a year, little steep for me. And all I gotta say is I used to love Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs, and I still like him a lot. But this guy refused to trade Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers and was like, over my dead body, Kawhi to the Lakers. Called the Pelicans to make sure they didn't trade with the Lakers. This guy's just a Laker hater. And ends up getting DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, who basically single-handedly won a championship for the Toronto Raptors. And now they want to get rid of DeMar DeRozan, and Jakob Poeltl has not turned into anything. So, you know what? Good job, San Antonio. Pay Rudy Gay $16 million a year and run it back with LaMarcus Aldridge, DeRozan, and Rudy Gay. And see how far that gets you. You buttholes. They could have had Alonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, three of those four, but nope. You got DeMar DeRozan, so good job. Good job. Next up, now this, again, not official, but apparently DeAndre Jordan is the next up for the Brooklyn Nets. So they're going to have a big three of, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan. Now, the good thing is all three of them seem to be friends connected through KD. So having that with a pretty emotionally charged team, I think, is very solid. Hopefully they all work out together. But, I mean, I don't know. How much is DeAndre Jordan going to make? A guy who potentially won't be able to play in the playoffs? Great for regular season, but what are you doing with DeAndre Jordan on the floor in the fourth quarter in the playoffs? Not much, let me tell you what. Now the Bucks, this is the second of their three big moves today. Or actually, second of their four big moves today. And that is Chris Middleton signing a 5-year, $178 million max contract for $35.6 million a year. Now, is that an overpay? Yes. Is it an overpay that I gladly do if I'm Milwaukee? Yes. Chris Middleton is probably the best player you're going to get on your team. You're not really signing other big-name free agents. And, I mean, he's really good, and Giannis loves him. And if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you were pretty close. You were in the run for a championship contention, and you were the best team in the league last year. Run it back with however much you can. So pretty chill with that one. Another smaller move to Brooklyn, Garrett Temple to Brooklyn for 2 years, $10 million. I mean, yeah, okay. I really don't have much to say about that one. Garrett Temple's okay. I guess you're filling out depth. Would I have hoped for someone a little better of a scorer? Yeah, but he's not bad on defense, at least. He can take on the other team's best point guard or best guard and then put Kyrie on the other guy. So, you know, not bad. This one surprised me. J.J. Redick to the New Orleans Pelicans for 2 years, $26 million. That's about $13 million a year. Fantastic signing by the New Orleans Pelicans. They have, basically, their team revolves around Zion Williamson, Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. So these are all very solid players, but not a lot of shooting on that team. So you needed to hit a home run. And they had about $30 million in cap space. So if you're the Pelicans, you need to hit a home run on a shooter. And J.J. Redick, that's basically his bread and butter. And I got to say, J.J. Redick has one of the better agents in the league. He always seems to get a little bit above market value. Contracts that are very good for him. Short contracts for a lot of money. So good on you, J.J. Redick. That was someone I wanted the Lakers to get really bad. And it seems like they won't. But hey, you know, he ended up on a good team. Good for him. This is another surprising one. Dwayne Dedman signs a 3-year, $41 million contract with the Sacramento Kings. So that's about $13 million a year, as opposed to his $6 million a year he was making with Atlanta. But according to Zach Lowe, a lot of teams wanted to sign Dwayne Dedman. So the fact that you're the Sacramento Kings and you pried away, even if you did overpay a little bit, that you pried away a very solid center away that who could shoot and who can defend from a lot of other teams, not bad. Good on you guys. Let's see, up next. And don't worry, I only have, I guess, a half a page more of these to read off, and then we'll go into a music break and a little bit more of an analysis on the whole free agent field. But anywho, we got Derrick Rose signing with the Detroit Pistons for Detroit, I don't know, I'm always confused on this, but a 2-year, $15 million a year contract. So D. Rose, I mean, get that money, man, $7.5 million a year. Good on you. You earned it. Played a hell of a season last year. And even though he's injured and not as explosive as he used to be, he's still proving that he can be a go-to scorer. And there's already people who are saying he should start over Reggie Jackson. So getting a $7 million a year potential starting point guard, not a bad get for Detroit. This one kind of broke my heart. I talked about it a little bit. Terrence Ross staying with the Magic. Terrence Ross is a UW alumni. Really wanted him to come to the Lakers, but hey, he made that cheddar. He's staying with the Magic for 4 years, $54 million, solid wing defender, solid three-point shooter, and off of those two skills, he's making $13.5 million a year. Great deal for T-Ross, great deal for the Magic. I really like what the Magic are doing this offseason free agency. This one is another eek deal. Sorry, Sacramento. I mean, I complimented you on Dwayne Dedman. So I gotta talk smack a little bit. Trevor Ariza to the Kings for 2 years, $25 million a year. You're paying Trevor Ariza $12.5 million a year for 2 years. I mean, this guy is a solid-ish defender. Offensively has really fallen off a cliff. Defensively has fallen a little bit too. This was a guy my dad and I were talking about at potentially the veteran minimum. And not to say that, like, I mean, he was going to get more than the minimum, 3-and-D solid guy. But, I mean, he was in the conversation for it, and now the Kings give him $12.5 million a year? Eek, man. Eek, eek, eek. But, I mean, you made up for it with Dwayne Dedman, so I won't be too mad at you. I think this is the last Orlando signing that we have official as of now, but Al-Farouq Aminu, the Prince, he's going to the Orlando Magic on a 3-year, $29 million a year contract. So you're paying Al-Farouq Aminu, very solid wing defender, not that great on offense, but very solid wing defender. I would guess coming off their bench, not 100% sure, for under $10 million a year. This is a guy who can guard the likes of a LeBron James. I mean, when I say guard, like, you can throw at a LeBron James, a Kawhi Leonard, a Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, you need those guys that can be one of your defenders on these great wing players. So for under $10 million a year, great. I think that was a great signing by Orlando. And Orlando keeping Terrence Ross, keeping Nikola Vucevic, and adding Al-Farouq Aminu, they might be my favorite team of free agency so far. Unless, of course, the Lakers get Kawhi Leonard, which I got to tell you, I'm still checking my phone every 5 seconds. If you follow me on Instagram, I talked about how I might have a heart attack live on air if we get Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to apologize in advance if I scream at the top of my lungs if we get Kawhi Leonard. But just a potential for that to happen. Just want to warn you now. Let's continue. Jeremy Lamb, solid wing defender on Charlotte. He goes to Indiana for a 3-year, $31 million a year contract. So about a little over $10 million a year for Jeremy Lamb, who, if you're losing Bojan Bogdanović, cheaper option. I mean, not bad, not bad. I appreciate that one. This is another heartbreaking one. This one and the T-Ross one, and this might be because I have them both in my Dynasty Fantasy League, but Bojan Bogdanović, 4 years, $73 million a year contract with the Utah Jazz. Now, I'm not sad because of the stats that he's going to get, because I think he'll accumulate some great stats. I think he's a perfect fit on the wing for Utah. And with Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Bojan Bogdanović, Derek Favors, and Rudy Gobert, Utah has a hell of a starting five. But I don't know. In my heart of hearts, I wanted him to end up on the Lakers if we didn't get a max contract. So, like, if we don't get Kawhi, I would have wanted Bojan. But, hey, can't have it all. And then I believe the last of the Indiana deals that we have so far, Indiana sends a first rounder and 2 second rounders for Malcolm Brogdon of the Milwaukee Bucks for a 4-year, $85 million a year contract. So Brogdon gets over $20 million a year for Indiana. I'm meh on this one because, first off, why are you doing a sign and trade with the Bucks? Like, I guess you want to grease the wheels a little bit for them not to match your contract offer, but still, you're giving up a first and 2 seconds to sign a restricted free agent, and the Bucks made out like bandits on this one, so they didn't have to overpay Brogdon, which I know Brogdon's a great player, but I really think over $20 million a year would have been an overpay for him, and they got 3 picks out of it, so Brogdon and Oladipo as the backcourt of the future. It's two guys that are basically combo guards. I'm a little old school. I like having a point guard and a shooting guard, but two combo guards, I guess we'll see how that works out for Indiana. And basically immediately after Brogdon goes to Indiana, Rubio, who was tied with Indiana basically all offseason, basically immediately signs with Phoenix on a 3-year, $51 million a year contract. So he makes about $17 million a year. Rubio on Phoenix, I gotta say, I kind of like it. He is a level-headed veteran. He's my age, so I've always liked Rubio. I've always followed Rubio. He's a good defender. And he's someone who doesn't really require the ball on offense that much. So you have Devin Booker, who is going to control the offense. And you have Rubio, who's going to guard the other player's point guard. And you have an adult in the locker room. So for Phoenix, you know, a little bit of an overplay, but I like it. In what might be one of the most boring... Actually, I have two boring ones coming up. Actually, a couple boring ones. These are the later ones, so we got some boring ones coming up. Rodney Hood to the Blazers for a 2-year, $16 million a year contract. I gotta say, Rodney Hood probably was gonna make a 2-year, like, $10 million a year contract, but he played so well in the playoffs, he earned himself an extra $6 million. So, $8 million a year for a wing scorer? I mean, you lost Al-Farouq Aminu, so keeping Hood is great, but, like, what's going on with the Blazers, man? I'm really expecting them to do something. If I had to guess, I'm thinking they might be gearing up for a Kevin Love trade, but who knows? One of the more exciting ones, I guess, Tobias Harris. He's ending up staying with the Philadelphia 76ers for a 5-year, $180 million a year contract. So Tobias, after being traded like five times in his career, gets a five-year deal, has a home in Philadelphia, and is making over $35 million a year. So good on you. I like it. I like it for both sides, especially if you're losing Jimmy Butler. I really like it for Philadelphia. Philly also then immediately after signed Mike Scott, who was basically their only productive bench player. I guess James Ennis a little bit, but Mike Scott was basically their only really solid bench player that you can rely on in the playoffs. And they got him for 2 years, $9.8 million. So less than $5 million a year for a solid bench player. I like it. Good on you, Philly. Again, Spurs, what are you doing? They signed Damari Carroll for 2 years, $13 million. So that's a $6.5 million a year. I mean, he's a wing defender. Cool. He could guard a LeBron. Cool. But, like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Spurs? Sorry, I'm really salty that the Spurs didn't trade Kawhi to the Lakers and ended up taking just a butthole deals. But, no, you know, Spurs fan, enjoy your Damari Carroll, Rudy Gay forward combo, I guess. Nerlens Noel, even though he kind of seems like an a-hole sometimes, like off the court, I really like his game. He's a solid post defender. He's really quick, really quick for a big guy. And even though they have not come out with the exact contract yet, as far as I know, he is returning to the Oklahoma City Thunder. This one, I mean, I wasn't too thrilled by it at first, and then I learned a little bit more about it, and I thought it was okay. Julius Randle to the Knicks for 3 years, $63 million a year contract. That's about $21 million a year. Not about. That is $21 million a year. And I gotta say, way worse than the Kings is the offseason for the Knicks. I am so sorry, guys. You guys were tanking for Zion. You were rumored for Kyrie and KD. KD's manager, basically, it loves the Knicks. And, I mean, damn, not only do you lose your top pick tanking for Zion, you lose out to Brooklyn, which is the newer franchise, for Kyrie and KD. And then you end up with all that max space, that $70 million, two max slot, max cap space. You sign Julius Randle for $21 million a year. I mean, I like Julius, and I'm very happy for him. I think he'll love it there, but damn. And then the final Bucks one that we have is they actually got George Hill to re-sign for a three-year, $29 million a year contract. So that's a little less than $10 million a year for a point guard who honestly really came in the clutch for them during the playoffs and was a very, very integral part of the offense for them. Eric Bledsoe, for some reason, when it comes to the playoffs, just freezes, and George Hill does way better in the playoffs now than he does during the regular season. So a combo of Bledsoe and Hill, perfect. So the Bucks, even though all these players really gained value in last year's playoffs, and players like Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, George Hill, I'm missing someone. But the fact that they were able to get everyone, and they had to give up one person, so they gave up on Brogdon, who was going to be overpaid. But they got three picks and kept most of their core. I'm very impressed with it. And they did lose Nikola Mirotic, but Mirotic was a no-show during the playoffs, and he's going back to Europe. So, yeah, I think so far Orlando is my favorite offseason, but the Bucks, I think, did a fantastic job as well. Whew, all right. Damn, that was a lot of talking. If you are a fan of this show that's not an NBA fan, aka Hi Mom, and you had to listen to all of this, but actually, no, I should be fair. My mom knows a lot about the NBA now. She's been killing it in NBA news. But if you're not a huge fan of the NBA, I'm sorry you had to listen to me ramble for like 30 minutes. But yeah, let's listen to some music. I'm basically playing some songs that I've really been vibing to lately and really been a fan of. And I want to start with No Scrubs by TLC, just because it seems like the Scrubs, I don't know, every team in the free agency is really hoping they don't end up with a scrub. But before I switch to music, just want to let you know that you're listening to KXSC Los Angeles. You can listen to us online at kxsc.org, on the airwaves at 1560 AM, and on your smartphone with the TuneIn Radio app. And we are a service of the University of Southern California.
What he wants and just sits on his broke ass. So don't fight. son, I'm talking to you. If you live at home with your mama, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. If you have a shorty but you don't show love, oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money?
Better make me smile, so give it to me right. harmonize, like, yo, my men and my women, don't forget about the dean, this is not the most the king, yo, it's about a thing, called you again. Remember when he told you he was about the Benjamins? Yeah. You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. Yeah. If you did it then you probably can. Talking out your neck, saying you're a Christian. A Muslim sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. But you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. With his rims and his Timbs and his women, him and his men, come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one that packed pissed out by the waist, man. Chris style by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face, man. Claiming that they did a bit, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man. The punk domestic violence man. The quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? Come again.
Intelligent women in here, man. Do you think you're too young to really love somebody?
No.
I say it for me. I'm an adult. I say,
Doc John, nah, nah.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name, if no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running game. Say my name, you acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Better say my name.
Other day, I will call. Baby, how's your day? But today, it ain't the same. Every other word is a huh, yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the crib with another lady? If you took it there, first of all, let me say, I am not the one to sit around and be played. So prove yourself to me. I'm a girl that you claimed. seconds ago. Said you just got in the house. It's hard to believe that you are at home by yourself. When I just heard the voice, heard the voice of someone else. Just this question, why do you feel you gotta lie? Getting caught up in your game when you cannot say my name. I know you say that I was doing a thing. Something's going down, that's the way it seems.
Say My Name by Destiny's Child. What a hit. I really like that song, but it kind of ruined the trick of calling girls like baby or whatever when you don't remember their name. Not that I would ever do that, because that's a really bold move to call someone whose name you don't know baby, but who knows. Anyways, no breaking news on Twitter. I was hoping that during those couple songs we would have something to discuss. But I wanted to talk about, obviously this is a Lakers show, so I don't know if people in Los Angeles are having as much fun watching this as I am, but the Lakers and the Clippers right now, man, they are in the fight of their lives. I mean, basically both teams have a max slot open. I believe the Clippers have two max slots open, if I'm not mistaken, if they trade Danilo Gallinari or something like that. But they have like a route 2-2, T-O space T-W-O. But yeah, both teams basically aren't doing any signings until they figure out where Kawhi Leonard is going. And basically, if you listen to all of the first half of the show, like all the good, solid, like mid-tier free agents are just being scooped up. So yeah, man. I mean, the Lakers can't sign. Literally, they can't sign anyone. They are all in for Kawhi, because if they sign anyone before Kawhi, they can't offer Kawhi the max. So basically, every prospect that the Lakers are looking at, if they didn't get Kawhi, is gone. So we're in an all or nothing fight, baby. And let's go. So yeah, I thought I would go through who some of the best people left are on the table. Obviously, there's Kawhi Leonard, who, I don't know, man, I feel it in my plums that he's coming to the Lakers. I know it was, but like, I don't know, Vegas said the number one odds were Kawhi. Kawhi wants a meeting with Magic Johnson. Kawhi wants a meeting with Jeannie Buss. Kawhi wants a meeting with LeBron AD. Like, he's getting all these meetings with Laker people. I think he's coming. And then there's Jimmy Butler, who is hopefully, if he gets what he wants, going to Miami. And then can we talk about the Al Horford situation a little bit? I mean, he declines his player option with the Celtics and gets mad that they offered him below market value. And basically, him and his agent come out and are like, yeah, we have someone who is offering us 4 years, 120. It's in the bag. We have it. And this is like a week before free agency starts. And writers all over are like, who the hell is this team? Like, what team just blatantly broke the rules, called Al Horford and said, listen, we guarantee you 4 years, 120. I mean, damn. So basically, and if he was right, he would have signed the second free agency open. So, man, I really think he just bluffed hard and really lost. Like, they were telling everyone he was getting 4 years, 120, to, like, try to raise the price on him a little bit. But, wow, if there was no team that offered that, that is so embarrassing if he gets, like, way below that. If I'm a team, I offer him way below that just for being a poophead. Anyways, then there's D'Angelo Russell, who basically the Nets aren't going to keep. He's a restricted free agent, but no way they keep him with Kyrie now, with them having Kyrie now. A lot of talk about him going to Minnesota. So I think Minnesota's been in talks a lot about having a trade partner for Andrew Wiggins. Nobody knows who it is. Who knows? But Russell and Kat are pretty close. Karl-Anthony Towns are pretty close friends. So, and I really think he would be a perfect fit in Minnesota. But if they're unable to trade away Andrew Wiggins, there's no way they can afford D'Angelo. And one interesting thing about D'Angelo Russell is if the Lakers don't sign Kawhi Leonard, God forbid, D'Angelo Russell is going to be their number one target 100%. And if he takes way less than the max, and we're able to get another person like a DeMarcus Cousins, not bad. That leads me to my next best available player, DeMarcus Cousins. Who knows where he's going? If I'm him, I hold tight. I let teams swing and miss. And if I'm him, I'm very bummed about Julius Randle's deal, because are the Knicks willing to offer it to someone else? We will see, but if I'm Cousins, I really would have liked that Julius Randle deal. But if he's smart, he'll wait and see, like, what teams want what. Then, speaking of guys who played well in the playoffs from the last segment, Kevon Looney is going to make a pretty penny. Is he going to make 3 years, 30 mil? Maybe. Who knows? Who was it that got that contract like that? There was someone who had 3 years, 29 mil. Yeah, Al-Farouq Aminu got 3 years, 29 mil. I mean, I would rather have Looney than Al-Farouq Aminu. I don't know if that's right, but I think I would rather have him. So any team looking for a solid starting center, I mean, him and Robin Lopez, who's also still available, those two are really solid starting guys that you can just count on to do big man things that you need your team to do to succeed. Now, this is an interesting one. Patrick Beverley is still available. Now, the only way I want the Lakers to get him so bad, but the only way the Lakers get him is if they don't get Kawhi, because Patrick Beverley has never had a big contract in his career. And I think the rumors were he was looking for like a 3 year, $40 million contract at least, or something like that. And honestly, he deserves it. He plays great defense. He's a solid floor general. I would love him on the Lakers, but again, all this is prefaced by the fact that I'd rather have Kawhi Leonard. Then there's Danny Green, who apparently has been talking with the Clippers, which is a sign that the Clippers might have, like, if you want to follow Kawhi Leonard, that they have a solid chance of getting Kawhi Leonard. But I guess we'll see on that one. The Morai twins, Markieff and Marcus Morris, who Markieff might be a minimum guy, which is weird because Markieff started as the better brother of the two. But yeah, both those guys, I'm sure teams want him. I mean, Marcus Morris especially, I think he is metrically one of the best defenders on LeBron. And for someone who can guard a wing player like that, any team could use that. So I think they'll be signed pretty quickly. Seth Curry is still available, which he has been linked with the Lakers a ton. Every time I hear, oh, if the Lakers go for minimum guys, Seth Curry, Lakers, I've been talking to Seth Curry. I would not be surprised whatsoever if he ends up on the Lakers, but we'll have to see. And then we got some, like, meh guys in Justin Holliday and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I mean, they're okay. They're cool. Kelly Oubre is still a restricted free agent. I like him a lot, but I don't see anyone offering him more money than what Phoenix is going to match. You know what I mean? So he'll probably stay. Thomas Satoransky, same thing. Unless Washington just decides to give it up, trade Bradley Beal. But even then, Satoransky's a young... Actually, no, he might be 27. I mean, just let Satoransky go at this point. But actually, if I was them, sign him if you can, trade him. But man, Washington is a depressing, depressing situation. And then the last two, we have two pretty solid big men available, Taj Gibson and Bobby Portis, both of whom have also been attached to the Lakers. So, yeah, those are some of the better free agents out there left. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of people, but just, like, in general. And then there's also one of my favorite players, TJ McConnell, who, if the Lakers get Kawhi, I would bet good money they go after TJ McConnell. But that's something we'll have to see later. And then the last few things I wanted to talk about. First off, the Knicks, man. Wow. Knicks fans are just feeling it today. And I know I just talked about the Knicks, but it also a report came out that James Dolan didn't want to offer KD the max off of fear that his Achilles wouldn't heal perfectly. I get it. I get it. Like, KD, you know, torn Achilles is very difficult to handle, but my man, that would have been your best free agent signing ever in terms of strictly talent. The people would have loved you for it. Like, James Dolan shoots himself in the foot so often. It's absolutely insane. And then last but not least, this Nets versus Boston thing. And if any of you know me well at all, you know I absolutely hate the Boston Celtics. For years and years, people, even including myself, were like, wow, Boston Celtics, they destroyed the Nets in that trade. They're going to do so well. They're the team of the future. Best assets ever. And look who's better now. The Nets. The Nets are better than the Celtics now. The Nets officially won the Nets-Celtics trade. And that makes me really, really happy. I kind of want to do one dorky thing before the end of this show. I feel like as Laker fans, we were so excited with AD coming and then getting our second round pick, then going into free agency, maybe getting Kawhi Leonard, that we never really mourned the young guys that we gave up as much. And again, I do that trade 10 times out of 10, don't get me wrong, but I did like Brandon Ingram. I did like Lonzo Ball. Like they were, and Josh Hart. There were people that I felt strongly for. They were Laker prospects that I thought could be really good one day. I'm sad that they're gone. I'm happy that AD is here. But as a final goodbye to Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart, I wanted to play this song that shows, kind of portrays how much I will miss them.
Thou shalt know she can't love you.
Should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
So Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, just know I will always love you. I want you guys to succeed. And, you know, I haven't had a lot of breaking news during this show. I really thought there would be more. I guess if I had this show at the 3 o'clock hour, I would have had more. But, man, the Knicks are having a rough day. They just offered, I just got it now during the I Will Always Love You song. They just offered Taj Gibson 2 years, $20 million. What are you thinking, New York Knicks? I mean, you have all this cap space, and you're going to overpay for a 34-year-old Taj Gibson? Pay for a young guy. Give that money to Kevon Looney. Pay for a young guy that you might develop, might become loyal to you guys. Man, the Knicks are a mess. So yeah, great way to end the show. Sorry, all Knicks fans, but yeah, this has been such an exciting free agency, and it's only gonna get better when D'Angelo Russell, DeMarcus Cousins, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, once they all sign. But yeah, by next week I should know the rest of those things, and I will see you and talk to you then. Have a great rest of your weekend, guys. Bye.